Hello, everyone, and welcome to JFG Tonight. Odyssey is improving. We've not had no sound problem for a while. They now allow the chat to open up. As soon as I open up the page, you guys can chat. That is great. It will lead to a family feeling, especially for the Christmas period. That's a perfect momentum by Odyssey. People will be able to chill on the chat as we had been doing a long time ago. When we were on YouTube. How are you guys doing on the regular chat? Today we have Twitter Files 7 and Twitter Files 8. 7 is from yesterday, 8 has been released this afternoon, so we'll be reviewing this. Thank you, Mark, for the little project we've been discussing. It's awesome that you are up for this. The most beautiful Christmas tree formed by the frozen waters of a waterfall in Iceland. This makes you think, wow, this looks like a Christmas tree, but it's just the pattern formed by water as it falls and freezes instantly. It's amazing because it makes you think, is there a link between how a tree evolves to be in a certain way, perhaps to resist to the falling of the snow, and the way a mountain gets shaped by the flows of water in a waterfall? Perhaps there is a link. Perhaps it's the same thing. Perhaps the tree is trying to look like a mountain that has been digested slowly by the flow of water. Perhaps the tree's optimal evolutionary strategy is to be the most waterfall-like in the way it handles snow as it falls on it. That is quite fascinating. That being said, of course, the trunk part of the tree could not be explained by such a theory. That's probably just random that it ends up looking like a trunk of a tree also. Stephen Robinson says, it is like this when you zoom in on a leaf and zoom out on a river. Oh yeah, interesting. I mean, this could be also a truth that links the two, because a leaf tries to make a river. Basically, it's a river of photon gathered energy in the leaf, and it's trying to flow into one current that can connect to the rest of the tree. So there are parallels to be made like this. There are people who make too many parallels, the people who get themselves lost in metaphors, and they see too many parallels, but I think there is place for certain intelligent parallels to be made. End of the line, Joel says, Musk had already planned to leave the CEO position of Twitter. His poll is meaningless since either outcome is what he wants. Yeah, and he's been making a poll saying he would honor the result, and people are like, well, he probably wanted to leave anyway. And in any case, he can also make the argument that, the bots have voted, so I'm just going to take the vote of the Twitter verified blue subscribers, and that would lead him to stay. So I think he has plenty of options to either deny the results of this vote or go with it because it's what he wants. Cloud Warmer says, can the same parallels be drawn between the tree/water and human body/water? Well, you would have to find a waterfall that ends up looking like a human being. I don't think you're going to see a similar parallel because humans are quadrupeds. So humans don't just stay in place and try to aerodynamically handle snow falling onto them. We are a walking animal, so we can escape the snow. That leads to a very different evolutionary story. We're not like waterfalls. Rodilacid says, that would still be good if only verified true humans were counted. You have to be a citizen for your vote to count. Yeah, I'm not against the idea of making his polls restricted to Twitter blue subscribers or people who have skin in the game. But the way he's bringing it now that there's this vote, it's obviously to open himself to much options. But it's okay for me to create a restricted form of democracy. But the thing is, shouldn't that make all Twitter normies realize how democracy doesn't work? Like, Elon worked with democracy for a week and then searched for ways to cancel it, searched for ways to develop a democratic elite. Because what? Because Twitter Blue subscribers, because they have skin in the game, they are invested in getting a true answer on the poll. But the same can be said about society. The same can be said about democracy. People on social welfare, they have skin in the game in a very different way than people who are running this society and making it productive. That's something we are not allowed to consider under our current political system. Stephen Robinson says, after a busy season installing wood stoves and sweeping chimneys, it is a pleasure to be able to eat dinner with JFG tonight and community. It is minus 15, snowing, and I am eating squash soup from my garden with beef and tortellini. Amazing, amazing. Today I went shopping. I went to a butcher shop. I drove to Civilization, to a butcher shop, and I bought a $200 block of ribeye for the Christmas dinner here at JFG Tonight. I bought two live lobsters. I bought a gigantic square of pork belly, and I'm planning. So the JFG Tonight dinner cannot be tomorrow, because tomorrow I'm speaking with David Duke at 2 p.m. and then we have the Patreon hangout at 9 p.m. plus the regular show at 7 p.m. So all day I'll be way too busy to do the Christmas dinner. So the Christmas dinner should be in 2 days from now, if I can make it work. And what I'm thinking, the theme of the Christmas dinner this year will be lobster laced belly wrapped ribeye, revenge from the deep sea. And it's going to be basically the concept of a parasitic lobster exiting the belly of a pork. Like, you know how Jordan Peterson says you have to make your way out of the belly of the beast? So I'm gonna have the big ribeye. It's going to be completely surrounded by pork belly. And then from the heart of the ribeye and pork belly will rise a lobster with its claws coming out of the belly of the beast. And it's going to be a testament to water-based life forms, just having a revenge against the rise of terrestrial life forms. It's going to be like, what would it look like, a world in which pigs are walking around, but they are subjected to intense attacks from parasitic lobsters just being born inside of them and like spawning inside of them and then killing the pig as they try to exit. That's going to be the theme of the Christmas dinner this year. It will be in 2 days from now, right after I spoke to David Duke tomorrow on Mark Collett's show. Silver Spider sends a super chat. He says, hey, JF, I have some more song lyrics for you. The album this song was on explored many science-related topics. Would you say this song is about TRP? Nothing is really about TRP, but let's have a look. Avenged Sevenfold lyrics, creating God. Standing in the shade of altruism, answering the call came a modern messiah to save us all. Something far beyond a work of fiction, positronic brain, a world that's void of all the anguish and suffering and pain. Okay, so we're talking here about stripping humans from certain evolutionarily acquired emotions. Okay. Better tame your convictions before you go and open the cage. We're creating God, master of our designs. We're creating God, unsure of what we'll find. Never held a high regard for Darwin. Selection takes too long. A little kick in the pool shouldn't do us wrong, devouring the very last invention men would ever need, but exponential growth is a frightening thing indeed. Sweet Bohemian Jewry, rounded up and hung in the streets, we're creating God, blah blah blah. Sometimes when I look up to the sky, I have to wonder, are we summoning the demon, you and I? Have you noticed that I'm needing it more now, more than it needs me? Got a couple of billion that seem to agree, surfing in an artificial dimension, but we're not alone. Now the master has become just a stepping stone. Ho! Like a blow to the ego, the bitter pills are harder to take. We're creating God, master of our designs, unsure of what we'll find, in search of the divine, committing suicide. Yes, that is absolutely about TRP. They've captured a lot. Now, what's the date on this? 2016. So, it's not impossible that this would have been written by someone who watched my early videos on this. It is not impossible, because 2015 is when I started exposing my theory. So we can't exclude that there was some inspiration here from me, or maybe they just came to their own conclusion. But yeah, it's the theme of transhumanism is suicide. It doesn't have the replicator tango, but you can imagine it in it. Stephen Robinson says, JF, I'm halfway through watching the 2011 movie In Time with Justin Timberlake, where time is a currency. Very interesting. Yeah, I watched this. It's an interesting take. Kind of cheap as a movie. Kind of annoying. And Justin Timberlake is pretty much the worst actor you could imagine. The premise is not bad. It's the whole idea that people are living on a time limit, and it's written on their arms. And it's a little bit like Bitcoin. You can steal people's time. You can win time by working. There's a structured society where there's an elite that has basically infinite time on their arms. So that's interesting. I think Snowpiercer is better. If you want that kind of stuff, Snowpiercer is better without the whole technological aspect to it, without the worry of, oh, how does it work, this whole time-limited bracelet or whatever. But personally, I prefer Snowpiercer if you want to go in that style. Cloud Warmer says, in an alternative universe where lobsters became the leading sentient being on the Earth, JF warns other intellectuals that the possibility of a TRP could lead to the overthrow of lobsters and rise of a new pig-based civilization, regulating lobster kind to nothing but servitude of their new master. That's pretty much the description. That's the synopsis to the Christmas dinner in 2 days from now. I'm nervous about it because holy shit, did I buy a lot of stuff. I will have to wake up early that day, because it's not easy to be organizing those Christmas dinners, to be both filming the process of the cooking and then to have it ready here to eat it. It's not easy, because if I cook it in advance, that gives me more time to do the video editing. But then it's cold and it's ugly and it doesn't look like freshly cooked. So I have a very tight window of time of about 1 to 2 hours before the show, where I can start the editing of the videos while finishing the cooking. It's very hard. All right, we have super chats coming on Entropy. Thank you so much. People have been so generous this year. That's why I've been able to afford so much luxury for the Christmas dinner. I bought some homemade jerky, well, you know, made by the butcher. I bought all sorts of dry sausages. I bought a gigantic dry sausage. It's big like this. The cashier at the butcher, I got this piece for $200. It was the butcher himself who came from behind the the doors, and he said, "All right, sir, you want a big ribeye? Let me show you." And he showed me the big piece of ribeye, and I said, "Okay, half of this." He said, "That's the full ribeye of a beef. I just took it out of a beef." Now, he was very professional. He told me, "Look, there's this cartilage part here. I can remove it while keeping the rest of the ribeye intact, and I will leave the bones in." And I arrive at the cashier. This is where I realize I'm different. I'm different from your average normies out there. I was the one to cause this cashier to realize that she cannot enter in her cash machine. She cannot enter single items above $100. So I'm the first person to enter that butcher shop to take a piece that's worth more than $100, because she was putting it in, and no, the cash machine was limited to $99.99 as a maximum. Anyways, she ended up being able to charge me manually, but it makes you think, my God, I'm the first person at this butcher shop, which was in a small town still. I mean, even when I say I drive to civilization, it's still a small town. But holy shit, they just eat basic stuff. They've never ordered something above $100. Eric Oliver sends a super chat through Entropy. He says, "Trump NFTs, like most NFTs, if not all, have a royalty feature. Each resale, the original author receives a percentage set at the minting of the NFT's collection. Is that true?" That would be a massive, brilliant business decision from Trump. I didn't know that. Is that true that if the NFTs gain in value, Trump gets money? How much money is that? He says, "Since this collection is not associated with his election, reselling can be a way to send money for bribes and laundering." Wow, I hadn't thought about this. Wow, wow, wow. That is very well seen. I'd like to know what's the percentage on this. Steven Robinson says, "Whether it's hot or cold, it's very cold. I am living in the cold. We are heating with the wood stove. We have beautiful logs. Things are going well. I'm heating with birch. Birch is very impressive, let me tell you. I've been buying hardwood from other trees that dry more than the birch. The birch is not considered a main way of heating normally. And when you buy a professionally made cord of wood in Canada, it will often not include birch. But the problem with the other trees is they burn very quick. They are extremely dry. And you end up having not so much mass for that burns. They are light. They are very light to lift. The birch is super heavy, super dense, and it burns a little slower, which is just perfect for me because the other logs would create too much heat anyway, so it was all wasted. And you had to refill the wood stove too regularly. With the birch, it's been absolutely beautiful. It just fits in the wood stove, and it lasts for about twice the amount of time as the other logs that we've previously bought. DK Shadow says, "Tell JF the creator fee for Trump NFT is 10%. Not at computer right now." He says this on Discord, but what he doesn't know is I monitor the Discord at all times, just in case someone has something to say. Well, 10%, that is crazy. Because if the Trump meme gets super hot in 1 year from now and the election goes, some of these NFTs might sell for $1 million, no matter the crappy art that's featured in them. So that is insane. I had not considered this. This is so important. Now I need my own NFT collection, if that's true. Because I thought once you got rid of the NFT, it was all, you lost control of it. But 10% back to the creator, that is ding, 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 ding. If NFTs can be valued anything in the future, which they probably don't. Eric Oliver also sends another super chat. He says ERC-1155 is the standard. In addition, Trump's team has a wallet holding 1,000 of the rare ones for later sale. And he sends me a link to a Medium article. Wow, I will be reading that. It's called by Dev, Can NFTs Generate Royalties? Wow. Thank you so much for the info. Since I will be reading that link later. Send some coming in, sends 10 bucks. Thank you so much. He says, hello, Jean-François. If I don't catch you live beforehand, it was just to say Merry Christmas and all the best to you and yours. Thank you for the great streams throughout the year. God bless. Well, thank you so much. And we've been making an awesome month, and the Revolutionary Phenotype keeps increasing in sales whenever the December comes, maybe because I talk about it as part of the yearly celebration, but also I think it's a good Christmas gift. I think people hear about it in bio classes, and they're like, oh, that will be good for my boyfriend. And I think people are giving it a lot as Christmas gifts. John Drake says, does your stove have a blower on it? Two blowers, John Drake. And I would love to have more than two blowers because I think they vastly increase the spread of the heat. They remove the heat instantly, so new heat can come out of the stove from the top. Let me tell you that I've seen the stovetop performance, the wood stove performance has been amazing. It's been amazing, and it's been improving throughout the years because I improved the house. We have more insulation now. I'm getting better on insulation every year. Next year, it will keep getting better. I mean, I'm not even through maybe 30% of what I want to do through insulation, but I'm already feeling and recording the increases of the insulation performance, and it's night and day. I'm saving money already, and it's going to get better because I haven't even done the the basement. I want to totally isolate the house from the basement. There's all sorts of things I haven't done, and the walls here, we bought a crappy house, like crappy. And the walls are completely empty, so when I open them to put insulation, it's really the difference between having zero insulation and having some of the best insulation, which I use two layers of insulation. I use fiberglass pink foam plus a layer of silver board. And the layer of silver board has both the air-based insulation of the styrofoam inside of it, plus two layers of polished aluminium to keep the radiating heat inside. It is high performance. We are in so much heat right now. It's almost too much, and it's going to get better. I think I might really reach a point with this house in 2-3 years from now. I think I might consume about 25% of the energy I originally consumed on the first year to heat it. It's as intense as this, because I see improvements in the range of maybe a 30% improvement, but I'm only 30% of the way through my projects. Since I'm coming in, says, I have just bought the audio version of The Revolutionary Phenotype narrated by yourself. I look forward to listening to it over the holidays. Thank you so much. That's awesome. Stephen Robinson says, JF, do you know the make and model of your wood stove? I would have to go check. I don't know. And one other thing I did to the wood stove that's really worth it. I've installed the reflective bricks, because when we came, the wood stove was already there, but the wood stove had all of those bricks broken. They were all broken. They were removed. And basically, I had a wood stove without reflective bricks. What the reflective bricks do is they make the wood stove lose less heat on the side, and it reconcentrates the heat toward the logs. So you get faster burning, you get more maintenance of the chards, the tisons, as we call them in French. So the little glowing red pieces of wood. And so because you're redirected, you lose only heat now. Well, you lose mostly heat through the top and through the front of the wood stove, which is just perfect. And it occupies space, so you lose that space from inside the wood stove, but your wood stoves should be able to keep the embers lighted up thanks to this. Cloud Warmer says, JF, the TRP paperback makes an excellent Christmas gift. In fact, I have sent it out to some people. That is awesome. I can totally see it because I see the rise of sales in December. And I'm super happy because I love Christmas. I love the ambience. And I love that my book is contributing to Christmas. Ty Rogerson says, JF, if you continue to expound on the benefits of insulation technology, what will you have left to discuss on Millennial? I'm sure there will be plenty left. We're probably going to do a review of the year, I guess. There's so much to say. It was a crazy year. Crazy year. A lot of people were saying that 2020, 2021 could not be surpassed. But let me tell you, it was heavy. 2022 with the buying of Twitter. I mean, I have to go review all my shows from January so that I get a good clue of what happened in 2022. But it was a lot. Stephen Robinson says, good job. The bricks are very important. They also keep the stove from cracking and being of no value. Yeah, protects the stove too. Colorado says, what is the air temperature 1 foot from the floor and 1 foot from the ceiling? I haven't documented this, but I do know that it's relatively cold in the basement because we don't direct heat there. So the heat of the basement, there is some heat because we have our furnace there, but it's accidental heat, if you will. End of the line, Joel says, was 2019 Millennial when JF blackpilled everyone? Haha. I don't know what year it was, but yeah, people hated me for it. And then some people are coming to me years later and they said, JF, you were absolutely correct on everything you said. I was resisting, but now I get it. You were just trying to warn us of the reality. Wasp sends a super chat. Thank you so much. He says, thank you for the show. Thanks to you, Wasp. Cloud Warmer says, JF, have you noticed an increase in your viewership since your special on YouTube recently? I've noticed an increase in my viewership, but not since this YouTube special. So I think we brought the people who were willing to leave YouTube. We have all of them. The rest that are still on YouTube and still saying JF doesn't exist anymore, it's because they're comfortable in that parallel reality. So leave them there. In fact, I shouldn't make these YouTube specials anymore because... But I did notice an increase in viewership, but it has come from 2 weeks or a month ago. I think there's been a lot of memes and people want a lot of information around Twitter files and it got people excited. I think it's much more because of this than... the Ye Bump, Kanye West, this has directed a lot of people here. Tultide reports from Leaky Vax, the Taliban have banned all Afghan women from attending university and higher education. That's, in my view, discriminatory. You are directing women to the right lifestyle, but you're not doing it for men. When will we have a complete ban of men in Afghan universities? I find that this is absolutely discriminatory toward men to be only giving this good life direction to women. But Tultide was sharing this graph, which shows the more a woman is educated from 0 year to 12 years of schooling, the less baby she has. So if you go in countries like the US, it's right here. The average woman makes 12 years of education, but only 2 babies. Whereas if you go into other countries, less education, more babies, up to 7. So the Afghans have made the right choice from a population and demographic maintenance perspective. Colorado says, I'm thinking a ceiling fan would help distribute the heat from a wood stove. Not in our case, because we have two floors to heat, and we're okay with a lot of the heat escaping because it ultimately makes it to the second floor. So it's a strategy that might be relevant to a one floor building, but with a two floor building, you're actually happy with the heat that you lose because it helps warm the second floor. Almost 8,000 US shootings attributed to unseasonable heat. Research suggests climate crisis may contribute to increased gun violence by pushing temperatures beyond normal range. Yeah. Yes, there is a link between heat and criminality. But I love the detour around the question here. It's like is that The Guardian? I think it's The Guardian. I mean, it seems like The Guardian. This would have been posted on December 16th. But I love how the leftists go around the team they don't want to talk about, and they link two themes that they do want to talk about. They want to talk about violence. They want to talk about climate change. But they don't want to talk about demographics. And they don't want to talk about the fact that the very reason why I'm safe in life and I don't have to worry about shootings and I don't have to worry about, in fact, any sort of criminality. I can leave valuables in front of my home. And there will be people passing and not a single one will think I should steal this. I can leave valuables for months out there and no one will ever steal it. And the reason is partly because I have attained a colder climate. But the ultimate reason that the leftists don't want to recognize is that climate is highly associated with demographics. And there are demographics that perform their evolutionary strategy stronger when they are exposed to heat. And there are demographics that are more comfortable in the heat, and some demographics are more comfortable in the cold. That is probably why you end up having a correlation like this. It's probably just that it's not that the cold causes non-criminality or that the heat causes criminality. It's that the closer you get to heat, the closer you get to demographics that have a history of living in heat. And these demographics happen to also have higher levels of criminality. Just another day in Ohio, some meme video here. Apparently, this girl, it looks like this person tried intentionally to smash this girl with his vehicle, but she's not gonna let this happen. She then runs after the vehicle. I mean, she looks like a ninja in terms of the speed with which she gets ready to pursue the other car. Let's review the impact here. She very closely avoided being completely having her legs completely chopped. Closes the luggage compartment, ready to go. And then she's just going. Boom. Well, that's all we get to see. We don't get to know what happened after the pursuit. All right, so Twitter Files, a summary by Elon Musk from the Twitter Files 7 of yesterday. And then we're going to review number 8. Elon Musk says, Government paid Twitter millions of dollars to censor info from the public. That is the big news of the Twitter File 7. We don't know exactly the full amount at this point, but certainly at least $3.5 million were debursed from FBI to Yoel Roth. And not Yoel Roth as a person, but it was debursed in the Twitter funds, in the Twitter bank account. And Yoel Roth was bragging about it in the sense that he was like, oh, see, we got this $3.5 million. Now, what was this $3.5 million officially for? Because, of course, when you pay Twitter to censor people, you're not going to write on the bill for the censorship, thank you from Russia. So they wrote on the bill that it was for Twitter administrative fees following the interactions with the FBI. So basically, you have Yoel Roth saying, ah, see, in the past, before I was there, in those Twitter files, Yoel Roth brags that before he was there, they had refused this amount from the FBI. But Yoel Roth came in, started meeting weekly with the FBI, and then said to Twitter, see, I'm making $3.5 million, and all I have to do is listen to those speeches with the FBI. But it turns out that Yoel Roth was being basically psyoped into believing, for example, that the Hunter Biden story was Russian disinformation. So basically, Yoel Roth was groomed. He was groomed by the extremist leftist of the FBI, and he was paid. He was paid not directly, but Yoel Roth could come back to Twitter like the little dog that he is, you know? You know how a dog always wants to please their owners? And Yoel Roth was saying, look, I brought $3.5 million to Twitter, but you sold your soul. You sold the fucking internet. You sold liberty. For what? For a bunch of psyop agents. And this Twitter file is one of the most captivating and serious. Because it shows just how much... First, there's the money aspect. The money is super important because, okay, we have money here being used in a conspiracy to deprive people of their right to speak. But on top of it, it shows the whole involvement of Jim Baker. And at some point, the FBI is discontent with Yoel Roth because Yoel Roth is saying, well, you know, we pretty much banned any Russian on our platform. And at this point, I don't see any Russian activity anymore. And the FBI is like, I don't think you looked hard enough. And the FBI decides, okay, at this point, our psyop of Yoel Roth is failing. He was getting bitchy, says Putin. Yes, the FBI was finding that Yoel Roth was too bitchy. He was not brainwashed enough. And he was doing their bidding, but it was not enough for the FBI. So the FBI says to Yoel Roth, do you have someone at Twitter who has access to, who has classified clearance? Meaning, we cannot truly show you what the arguments that we have that would suggest that this is Russian disinformation, but it's Russian disinformation. But if you had someone at Twitter who's an FBI agent, and who has access to classified information, we could show him. And the Twitter team responds to that request from the FBI. Well, there's Jim Baker. And Jim Baker is this absolute corrupt FBI agent who jumps from FBI to private company to FBI to private company, happens to be there at Twitter, happens to have access to classified as the classified clearance, and the FBI answers to this, oh, Jim Baker, how could I forget him? Like, how could I forget him? In the sense that, what, you should know that he's your agent and that he's infiltrated Twitter? Are you faking that you forgot about him? Of course you know who he is. He's your boy at Twitter. He's he's part of the whole psyop here. FBI infiltrating Twitter. In the same way, he's been part of CNN before. So you realize just how extensively intelligence agencies are controlling everything you see. It's the psyop is basically the whole thing. CNN, from CNN 40 years ago to Twitter today. That's the conclusion of the Twitter Files 7. They are absolutely in bed with the FBI. And Mark Zuckerberg has described similar things. So the FBI is not just doing this to Twitter. They're doing this to all social media. They control the current social media landscape in the same way they were controlling CNN decades ago and probably still are. So fascinating interaction. And you realize that the psyop on Yoel Roth worked. Because Yoel Roth admits publicly in this interview, so I became convinced that there was an hack and leak, hack and drop type of activity happening on Twitter. So basically they convinced him that, hey, it wasn't just a lone computer repairman who ended up finding the laptop of Hunter Biden. What it looks like is the Russians have dumped the Hunter Biden laptop. They then copied all of the material onto a new laptop. And then they dropped that laptop into this computer repairman shop so that we would believe that it wasn't a hack, but it was a hack. It was the Russian all along. Yoel Roth ends up being convinced of that unsupported conspiracy theory rather than just the basic fact, which is, isn't it possible that someone who's constantly on crack and with prostitutes would actually forget his computer at a computer repair shop, and that the guy would end up digging on it and finding weird stuff and trying to report it to the FBI? So we have Yoel Roth believing an obviously false narrative because the FBI groomed him, paid Twitter, and they had weekly meetings with him until he would accept to censor this story. Micro Nova says, when you make an accusation of Mossad, the target can testify they are not member of Mossad truthfully. The target could be part of another division. Be specific when accusing and ask questions you know the answer to catch the subject in a lie. I've done my own share of Mossad accusations in private. Sometimes there are trolls who try to impersonate my family and my loved ones, and they write to me through email like, I don't like you anymore. Don't talk to me anymore, JF. And it's obviously not my family member or my loved one. And so sometimes I will answer, nice try, Mossad. They send these crazy email to my email where they're trying to like destabilize me. Like, hey, Jeff, I'm your mother, but I don't want to talk to you anymore. I'm your ex-girlfriend and I want to tell you this and that. And I'm like, nice try, Mossad. Sometimes I wonder if there's actually real people in my life who just wanted to write to me an honest, insulting email. And they get the answer from me. It's like, nice try, Mossad. I don't care. I don't care if I'm true, if I'm right or not. I will still call you Mossad. Ty Rogerson says, I'm your cheesemonger, JF, and you are officially cut off. That's the kind of message they send me. And you know, whenever they can get their hand on the name of someone around me, they create a fake Gmail account with that name, and they're like,
"Hello, JF. I am this person. I would like to tell you that I don't like you anymore."
Cloud Warmer says, so if the entire private social media scene is infiltrated by government agents and on the payroll of intelligence community, at what point does the argument that the constitutional amendments, Bill of Rights, and other constitutions around the world do not apply to a private entity fail? Obviously those are all... It's a whole system, a whole web of lies that's been designed to walk around and work around the constitutional limitations. And they do this for $3.5 million. $3.5 million is a significant sum for anyone, and it's significant that the government was wasting this to violate individual rights. But it's a small amount of money from a business perspective. Like Twitter, you're going to make much more than $3.5 million if you remain the trustable social media site that everyone wants to go to. But they were selling away this for their leftist belief for cheap prices. $3.5 million is just operating. It's not even at the operating threshold. It's not even at the threshold where it's worth considering for a big business like Twitter. To be bribed for $3.5 million is ridiculous. Cloud Warmer says, hey, JF, it's me, your mother. I will only talk to you if you send me 3 Ethereum to this account in the next 15 minutes. Oh, God. Eric Oliver sends a super chat on Entropy. He says, aerogel insulation is very promising. Industrial production in high volume and reducing manufacturing cost is the key to making it a game changer compared to fiberglass. It also dampens sound. Aerogel insulation. I look into it. I know aerogel, and I know it's a wonderful substance with magical properties almost. But yeah, I guess the whole key to insulation has always been to inflate something with air that has a lot of borders to it, so that you have hair, but you have static air. That's the whole key. And the aerogel, in a way, is the optimized static hair holder. So I can totally see how it would be a perfect substance for this. Basically, the art of insulation is the art of holding hair in a way that is not movable. And air is always the insulator. Because air is a damn good insulator. It took me a couple of minutes when my teachers were trying to put in my head that air is a good insulator. But, you know, think about the fact that you cook your food on a pan and that you can stand about a couple of inches from the pan and not feel the heat. Barely. And much of the heat that you feel is actually electromagnetic spreading of the heat through the red flashing light. But other than this, the steak is cooking and my hand is not cooking. And that's because air is a good insulant. Unpause says, best insulation is no air. I don't know. Is vacuum a good solution? Are there vacuum solutions for insulation? I'd love to hear about this. But, you know, keeping a vacuum for a long time is something unfeasible from my understanding. And the vacuum will be subject to pressure, so you're going to need a hard container. I don't see it being very practical. Vacuum is hard to maintain over decades, like without energy, without a setup for it. I don't know how that would work. Twitter Files Part 8. So that has been published today. The Twitter Files Part 8 by Li Fang is a review of the double standard that Twitter has been applying to other governments and to the American governments when when comes the subject of covert psyop operation by intelligence agencies. Basically, Twitter has been on the public space. They've been bragging about how we are acting strongly against foreign governments' attempts at manipulating public opinion. And we've been banning all these accounts from our site. And yeah, but under this sentence, there was something hidden. It was always foreign actors, foreign government, foreign bot farms, foreign psyops. Oops. Turns out that the reason they were always saying foreign is they're actually participating to the psyop of the US. That's the revelation of Twitter files number 8. They were actively engaged in the psyop of the US. They had special protection for bot farms operated by intelligence agencies. Intelligence agencies that were often posing as Arab speaking. So you see a bunch of Arab speaking accounts that talk about war, talk about Middle East, everything. You think it's a genuine Arab account? No, it's not. It's an agent at the FBI that's running a psyop with a fake Arab account. And Twitter was not only not deleting those accounts, they were actually detecting that it was from the FBI, but they were the CIA. But they were in contact with the intelligence agency, so that they were getting stable feeds of information about which accounts they are, and not to punish them. And they were secretly blue verified. What does that mean? Well, Twitter explains based on this Twitter file release that they basically were benefiting from the advantages of the blue check mark without the blue check mark showing up on the account. So you have these random little Arab accounts with not much follower running their psyop and acting as if they were a genuine person in the Middle East thinking out these things out loud. They benefit from the advantage of the blue check mark, and apparently one of these advantages, and that's so important for my banning of Twitter, one of these advantages that the blue check marks have is not getting banned for spam. So they could not get banned for spam. I end up getting banned for spam. I'm a genuine account, a genuine guy who has never done spam. They have protection from spam because they're known as the bot farms of the CIA, and they operate all these psyops against governments across the world. These accounts were spreading all sorts of false information and deceptive propaganda about Iran being evil and Chinese doing this and that. So all of this open intelligence community, I've seen that rise of the open intelligence community in the last 3 years. I would never see accounts like this, and suddenly they started showing up. You know, these analysts of war events and analysts of the geopolitical scene. And let me tell you, it from the very start when I saw these accounts rise, and they were always the first on the news, and they had these direct images from front line of the war, for example in Ukraine, or they had these first these fresh looks at the geopolitical scene with Iran or China or whatever. It smelled like a big psyop to me. Well, it was, and I don't say that all people in the open intelligence community are part of the government, but it seems that a lot of them are. They are government-run account to push narratives in the American social media sphere. New Guy says, hell, they're using vacuum and abandoned mines to create electricity. Okay, that's more complex, but interesting to know. How does what does this lead in terms of Zero Hedge coverage? FBI faces subpoenas after Twitter files exposing social media ties. House Republicans. Okay, but we need power to do something and we need to win the election. Twitter files, Twitter assisted Pentagon's psychological influence operations. I mean, at this point, which of the conspiracy theories haven't been fully proven at this point? I mean, the PSYOPs, there's been a lot of people alarmed around PSYOPs across the years. And now we have direct evidence that the formulation and the performance of PSYOPs is a main concern, in which hundreds of agents are actively participating right now, actively trying to control what goes into the social media and what doesn't go. All right. Reporter to the press person of Biden says, does it bother the president and those at the White House that a government agency like the FBI was involved in suppressing a legitimate news story? I'm not going to comment from here about that.
The latest Twitter files show that the intelligence community was actively involved in discrediting the Hunter Biden laptop story. Does it bother the president and those at the White House that a government agency like the FBI was involved in suppressing a legitimate news story?
Again, I'm just going to refer you to the FBI. I'm not going to comment from here about that.
The question is not to the FBI. The question is, does Biden have an opinion as the main caretaker of our First Amendment right? Does Biden have any opinion on the Twitter files? Is that too much, what the FBI and the CIA have been doing? Yesterday I took a break because the news was uninteresting. I found that it was lacking excitement, and I was like, the news is so boring, I'm taking a break. I'm gonna use the opportunity to just rest. That was the big news yesterday, and I was like, I don't want to make a thumbnail about this. What's in the House January 6th committee report summary? So the January 6th report has been released. They recommend, the leftists really love this, recommending charges. That's their next level of how do we end up writing hit pieces about people? How do we end up smearing people? How do we end up basically officializing cancel culture into a system without being able to actually find people guilty in a court of law? Well, you recommend charges, and now it gets promoted in your media as, well, okay, there are charges that are, well, there are charges that are pending. There are charges that may happen. There are charges that have been recommended against Trump. And this is an absolute violation of due process. The simple conception that this can be stated publicly is a new form of defamation, of political defamation and political smearing. Innocent until proven guilty is broken when you can oppose these loose labels and people haven't been given their right to confront their accusers, their right to their own side of the story. But that is what it is. The House January 6th committee, led by Democrats, of course, and anti-Trump Republicans, they have released their report and they say, oh yeah, Trump knew in January 6th, he knew that he was sending his fans to stop democracy. He knew that they would commit crimes. All of this falls in a court of law. All of this falls because, like I can say, hey, guys, there's a real problem with this governmental thing. And then some of you guys could go commit crimes in my name and say, all right, JF told us there was a problem with this aspect of governmental management. We're here to burn the whole thing down.
And I wouldn't be responsible unless I've directly said you should burn it down. I shouldn't be held responsible for what you guys do. That's just the basic situation of Trump. And in a court of law, he would be able to say to the jury, well, look, I made that speech because I thought there was a legitimate democratic issue with this. There was a legitimate issue with fraud in the electoral system. And he just has to say that he believes this, and he's cleared from all these charges. Tillman says, the January 6th comedy report. yeah, that's what it is. But, you know, people were confused, even people on our side. I said on the Discord yesterday, you know, this January 6th report is shit. And someone said, wait, hasn't Trump been charged? So the guy on our Discord, a listener of the show presumably, was misled by coverage by the CBC in Canada, because the CBC titled four charges against Trump. In their subtitle, they were like, four charges! And so the guy was believing that, oh, okay, he's getting charged. No, no. Four charges, and then you read down the line, you read down at the bottom of the article, four charges were recommended. So four charges being recommended, it's like, I can generate a billion charges being recommended right now. Here, I recommend that Fauci be prosecuted. I recommend that he be prosecuted for charge one, charge two, charge three, charge four. I could list all of the laws under which I recommend Fauci prosecution. That not a single media out there would title Fauci 1 billion charges recommended. Stephen Robinson says, Jeff, do you know what the latest is with Carrie Lake in Arizona? Is this election not over? I haven't been following in details. I don't know. I'm waiting for results. I'm waiting for something that's reportable, because she has fans that are fighting for her and trying to get electoral justice. And I haven't followed the detail, because who knows? Who knows what will happen? I just want to see a final result and be able to report it. A case of hope over experience. The J6 referral falls short of a credible criminal case, because you cannot hold someone criminally responsible, especially since we're talking about obviously First Amendment protected speech here, because the First Amendment explicitly mentions, you know, some reproach or reprimand that you would like to do to the government. So when you talk of public affair, you are squarely under First Amendment protection. Now, you wouldn't have in a criminal court a jury start doing, oh, well, he knew that his words would cause this. That's something you do when you're a Democrat in Congress, but I don't see even a biased jury would not reach that level of extrapolation. Former NY teacher accused of injecting teen with COVID-19 vaccine without parental consent avoids jail time. Laura Russo was accused of injecting teen at Long Island, New York home without his parents' knowledge. So this woman teacher invites this teenage boy at her own house and says, oh yeah, you need the COVID vaccine. Here, let me inject you. And without parental consent, that is absolutely disgusting. That's a physical assault. That is ridiculous that she's not making jail for this. And we have to place these teachers back in their place. Like, hey, you've been hired by society because parents have to go to work. They don't really trust you with their children, but they have to. But keep it outside of the non-consensual physical assault here, please. Sam Bankman-Fried signs extradition papers, will return to US from the Bahamas after a chaotic 24 hours of on-again, off-again headlines. There was conflict between the two lawyers of Sam Bankman-Fried. He had a team of lawyers in the US, a team in the Bahamas. He asked, it seems that the team in the US may not have been super warm to the idea of having him extradited, but it seems that he told his team in the Bahamas, no, you're getting me out of this, out of here, I want to be out of Bahamas prison, I'm going to go to the US. So the team in the Bahamas ended up filing the request for, well, it's a statement of non-objection, really. He's not going to contest an extradition proceeding. Barnabé Buteau says, wait, I needed to be a doctor for refusing the vaccine in a legitimate way for the past 2 years. But a teacher can proceed to medical injections. I don't know how she ended up having access to the vaccine, but somehow this happened. Stephen Robinson says, JF, have you commented on... Well, I guess that's what happens when you give free vaccine and you push the vaccine so much on the population that people end up having their underground ninja networks of under-the-table vaccine doses. Stephen Robinson says, JF, have you commented on whether or not the mRNA vaccine or any form of it is transmissible through blood transfusion or sexual contact? Well, I talked about this in a show about 1 week or 2 weeks ago when the subject came. Looking at the past episodes, maybe it's the one with the tachycardia. No, it's actually earlier than the one with tachycardia. It's like 2 weeks ago when I was talking about the Australian baby Will, who's been forced. It will be on the thumbnail because it was about the baby Will who will be forced to undergo surgery. And I said then, and it's still the case, that transfusion of blood, we don't know if it will carry the myocarditis potential of the vaccine itself. But what I said is, you have to give it to the parents. It's a rational expectations. I mean, if there's something in the blood that leads to myocarditis, because the vaccine is not injected in the blood. So if the vaccine is injected in the muscle, somehow it makes its way to the blood, through the blood and then to the heart, and then causes myocarditis. If that path happens inside of you when you get the vaccine, why wouldn't it happen to a blood transfusion? So it's reasonable and it's rational to believe that there could be a heart defect or blood-related issue with blood transfusion of vaccinated people, but it's not something that we know. It's not something that we know through experiments. Someone shared Give, Send, Go. Someone said that it was someone sympathetic to our show. I don't know, but it's a fundraiser for my friend Caleb Murray. It says, it started by Kyle Carson. I have no way to verify whether these people are fan of the show, but they say that they are sympathetic to right-wing ideas and that this guy had an injury by practicing martial art and he needs support. He's been up 9,300 euros and he needs 10,000 euros, so he's very close to his goal. I thought I would talk about it. I mean, I will not support because I don't know who that is, but if you guys want to support him, you can go ahead. He's missing 700 to get to his goal. Binance to acquire Voyager digital crypto asset for $1 billion. That is an important news. And it's not, there's not much happening in reality because Voyager was this platform
that somehow failed. They had a portfolio of cryptocurrency. So they had wallets, they had a lot of crypto. And then the question is, how do we get value back to their customers who experienced the whole fall of this platform? And while they are in a bankruptcy proceeding, they cannot access their fund. And Binance is just saying, basically, yeah, I'm going to pay $1 billion for $1 billion worth of crypto. So that will facilitate the process where the customers get reimbursed, the customers of Voyager who are in the bankruptcy proceeding. And from the perspective of Binance, they've only committed to buying crypto at the current market rate. So they're just going to get a flow of crypto onto their exchange, and they will pay whatever the price of the market says at that day. Now, they also say that it may not be $1 billion because they will estimate the value of the crypto on the moment of the transfer. So from the perspective of Binance, what that means is, well, first, Binance wants to display that they have plenty of money. They have so much money they can afford just sending out $1 billion to recuperate the assets of a destroyed competitor. So I think it's a way of Binance of just signaling to the market, look, we're solid financially. But from the perspective of Binance, it also means that going forward, until this date is established, Binance has a vested interest in seeing the crypto market crash. Not a massive one, $1 billion interest. And Forex Shark was explaining on our Discord server that this is basically Binance just got into a short. Binance got into a short, and the lower the price of crypto can be on that date, the lower they will have to pay to acquire those cryptocurrencies. Very interesting perspective that Forex Shark brought. Basically, Binance is in a small short, a $1 billion short. But also, Binance has its own futures platform, so they can re-equilibrate. They can have customers in longs, have customers in short, and basically that $1 billion short may not mean as much. But that's probably what caused the slight drop of price yesterday in Bitcoin, is that people realized, oh my God, Binance is expecting low cryptocurrency prices in the next few months. News guy says he's responding to that shitty reporter by proving he's got the cash. Yeah, that's pretty much what it is. It's a display of, because he's paying also $20 million on top of this. That's just the kind of tip. And then $1 billion is the worth of the crypto right now, but it could be less than this in the future. Biden, in newly released November 4 video, says Iran nuclear deal is dead. Okay, I've never been counting on that deal. I've always found that this deal was ridiculous, and it's an invasion of another country's sovereignty. And the US will have to tolerate that that technology will become more available and less costly and more available to developing nations as the world develops. A young vaccine-injured man describes his new life of hell. Let's listen to what he has to say.
I thought I would give everyone a quick update in regarding my PET scan that I got last week. I got the results at the start of the week.
Very few people know, but you can actually acquire that accent from the vaccine. So be careful, kids.
And it turns out, the myocarditis. It's taken over a year to diagnose me, and a specialist in the UK, specialist cardiologist in the UK, to tell me that it's myocarditis from the vaccine. I've seen over about 5 different cardiologists in Scotland. Not one of them, as soon as I say this is from the vaccine, not one of them want to acknowledge me. Well, there you have it. Myocarditis, 1 year later after the vaccine. Been complaining about chest pain, complaining about heart issues, and what was I told? It's anxiety, PTSD, health anxiety, all in my fucking head.
So that is one thing that is horrible in the current practice of medicine, and I've been the victim of it, and not related to the vaccine, but doctors are extremely dismissive of heart issues. I mean, in a world where heart attacks are a big reason to, you know, it's one of the big killers out there, I don't understand why doctors insist that what you feel about your heart, oh, it must be anxiety. I've been told this. It turned out I was suffering from some real heart problems, easily fixed by medication, as it turns out. But like, you have to have the right diagnosis. And the big problem, it seems that this guy had the same problem, is that doctors assume you cannot feel your heart. And it's what we've been teaching in medical school for a long time. You don't have pain receptor on your heart. So if you feel pain inside your chest, it's not your heart. But that is false. That is simply false. I can feel my heart. I can feel my heartbeat, especially when you start having myocarditis, tachycardia, when you start having, how do they call them? PVCs, premature ventricular contraction. You can all feel this, and you can feel it in your blood flow. I mean, you can touch your temporal vein here, and you can feel it. And you can feel it in your chest also, because in a premature ventricular contraction, your heart skips a beat and then gives a big shock. It gives a stronger contraction on the next beat, because the beat that was missed has led to the filling of the ventricle. So you can feel these things. You can feel myocarditis. And doctors have been dismissing all of these chest pains on anxiety. Seriously, my doctor was like, have you lost your girlfriend recently or something? I was like, no, bro, I'm telling you, there's a very precise issue with the rhythm of my heart. I know something is happening. And so it's not, he's not the only guy, but this guy on top of it has been faced with the doctor's unwillingness to acknowledge the link with the vaccine. And now that it's become socially acceptable to say, yeah, the vaccine causes myocarditis, now they tell him. Now they tell him. A new guy says, heartache? Seriously? I mean, it's seriously the conclusion that my doctor thought it was. Like, oh, you've been having a shock recently in your life? Like, bro, I'm so busy in life, I would never come to you if I wasn't very serious about there is something with the rhythm of my heart. And I ended up having to buy my own EKG to just see what was wrong with it. And I fixed it. I ended up finding everything, and it's all fine. But he was thinking that, oh, it must be with your girlfriend or something. No, it wasn't. But it sucks that, you know, faced with professionals, they should know so much more than us. They should know so much more than a guy, you know, just trying to find what's wrong about himself. But they don't. They're totally lost. All right. We are headed toward the conclusion of the show. Mark Braman has been showing some support for my Twitter unbanning. Very appreciated, Mark. Although I did insult him at some point, I said he was an annoying guy to his face. But of course, it was in a friendly way. And I still like the guy. I said, you're annoying, but I like you. But he said, of the accounts that remain suspended, this one may be the least deserving of this suspension. Free JF. That should be the new movement. I hope that we get a Twitter unbanning very soon. Fintronaut in Entropy says, debunk memetics in 2 minutes or less. Okay. Memetics is the theory that memes are replicators because they obey all of the laws of natural selection. Memes are indeed copying themselves across brains, but memes have one failure that makes them not fit the Darwinian pattern. Their mutations are not random. Their mutations are induced by human desires, human evolutionary interests, and ultimately by DNA. When your mutations are not random and they are controlled by some other entity, that entity is the one evolving, not you. Mark says, JF, free JF indeed. I sent Twitter an inquiry. All right, it's time we ask Twitter, what is happening, Elon? You talked of general amnesty. I'm not subject to general amnesty. What is wrong with my account? I have even subscribed to Twitter Blue 2 months ago, 3 months ago, to show you that I could send you $6, $8 a month, no problem. I'm rolling on gold. But since all of the injustice that you've exposed, isn't it reasonable to believe that I've been the victim of that injustice too? I mean, it's exactly what they describe. They describe they protect blue verified accounts from false spam accusations. Papa JF doesn't have a blue check mark. Papa JF gets banned for spam while he didn't spam. Come on, Elon. It's pretty clear what has been happening to me. Some Canadian Secret Service agent must have flattered Yoel Roth and said, maybe I'm gonna send you Canadian dollars so you can buy all the maple syrup you wanna buy. Free JF. Thank you.